Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, one thing you might not imagine happening in prison is inmates receiving plastic surgery. Now, during the last century, it went on for some years in the US. Zara Stone is the author of Killer Looks, The Forgotten History of Plastic Surgery in Prisons, and joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Zara.
Good afternoon.
So I suppose the story starts with Michael Lewin, who was a plastic surgeon. What brought him to perform plastic surgery on a prison inmate?
Sure. So Michael Lewin, he was this Polish immigrant in New York in the 1930s. And, you know, when he moved to New York, he was kind of pretty poor. He didn't have many opportunities. And he really saw how it was very difficult to be an immigrant somewhere and how much discrimination he got. So as his career developed and, you know, he worked with kind of young people and often people who had issues, he kind of realized, like, you know, giving them plastic surgery really benefited their lives. And one of his patients kind of vanished. And then a couple years later, he got a letter from Sing Sing Prison in New York. And that was where, I'm sorry, in upstate New York. And his client was now there. And he went there and he operated on this young man's face. And he saw how many of the other prisoners also had, you know, broken noses or facial scars or all these kinds of things that society really just discriminates against. And this really gave him the idea that, oh, maybe if he goes and he operates there, he might be able to help their lives.
And he did then carry out a study to prove this idea.
Absolutely. And so, you know, he had this idea that, you know, giving people plastic surgery is going to help, you know, stop them reoffending. But a lot of this was anecdotal. And he really wanted to, you know, scientifically understand if this worked. So on Rikers Island, this really large jail in New York, he did this three-year study where inmates could apply for plastic surgery. They'd go through psychological screenings and, you know, physical screenings. They would then get surgery when they were released, and the researchers would follow them for a number of years and try and track what happened and whether they reoffended.
Now, was and during the course of this study, did these people just receive plastic surgery or were they given any other helps? Because you could if you're good looking and broke, it's not going to help you that much.
Oh, for sure. And so they really, you know, as I said, they wanted it to be scientific. So they divided everybody who applied into four groups. Like one group was a control group and they received nothing. One group got plastic surgery and extra vocational services, you know, like help getting a house and help getting a job. One group just got vocational services and one group just got the plastic surgery.
And what were the findings of the study?
Actually, the findings of the study were that the most benefit was the people who had plastic surgery on their own. Plastic surgery with services didn't make it, you know, move a needle as much as just the plastic surgery by itself.
And what's the explanation for that? Or did they come to a conclusion as to what the explanation for that was?
I think some of the part of it is that when you kind of leave a jail, you do get some services anyway. So there's normally a parole officer and programs like that. So necessarily providing people with extra services, you know, maybe that wasn't as helpful as they thought it would be. And the group who only received the extra vocational services, their recidivism rate was like much lower as well. So, you know, before this, it was something like, I don't know, 66% of people reoffended within the first 5 years. And this study, it dropped it pretty much to 30% for people with plastic surgery.
What kinds of procedures was he carrying out in them then?
So it was a mix of kind of reconstructive and purely cosmetic. So reconstructive would be things like, you know, cleft palate surgery. But on the cosmetic side, there were facelifts, there were nose jobs, there were chin implants, there was liposuction. So, you know, stuff that was not medically necessary, but, you know, improved people's self-esteem and also how other people responded to them.
Yeah. And the inmates themselves were choosing what they wanted to have done. Would that largely have been the case?
Yes. They asked for what they wanted to have done. But, you know, the surgeon didn't go, oh, no, I'm going to give you X instead. They might say, well, you want a nose job, but your nose is fine, so we're not going to do it. But yeah, it was always the surgery was self-selected.
Yeah. Now, was it men and women?
It was men and women. The Rikers Island study, that was all men. But across the US, in around kind of I think about 40 states and federal prisons as well. It was a mixture of men and women. The majority were men because, you know, majority of male men inmates kind of makes up a large portion of a prison population.
And were the procedures just on the face or were there other things people had done?
There were some on the body as well. So liposuction, a number of women in, I think, Utah State Prison, they got breast implants. There was a lot of tattoo removal, which I think we still have today, actually, in a number of prisons, you know, getting rid of, like, you know, gang tattoos and that kind of scarring.
Mm. And presumably then, if this was going on in all across the United States, it was reaping some sort of benefits.
Absolutely. I mean, because, you know, the massive problem we have is people come out of prison and it is difficult. You know, one of the things that really helps people reintegrate into the community is getting a job. And, you know, not just a job, like a job with prospects and one that they can grow in. And it's really difficult anyways for, you know, people who are, you know, from a low economic stratum to get one. And especially if they have a criminal record. And so by making them more attractive, it was this idea of, you know, the beauty bias, right? So we know today that people who are considered more attractive, like they get paid more, they get hired more, they get treated better. So it was really trying to give this benefit to prisoners to help, or to former prisoners, to help them reintegrate into the community.
Mm, and in all cases, the surgery was carried out after they had left prison. Was that the case?
It was a combination. So Rikers Island is a jail. So with that one, the surgery was after they left prison. A lot of other prisons, it would be during while they were in prison. So like in Texas State Prison, you know, they had a prison hospital. You know, I think in like Georgia State Prison, they had prisons hospitals. So it kind of varied.
How long did it go on for then?
I mean, decades. So, you know, this kind of started and, you know, kind of maybe around 1915 and kind of all the way up to 1994.
Wow. To be honest, I'm amazed it lasted that long, given what the politics around this must have been, that you just need a headline saying, you know, what kind of Fox News headline, incarcerated prisoners getting, you know, the chin implants done. People would be jumping up and down to be so angry.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think that's one of the big reasons that these closed in the end. Like there were headlines like, go to prison, collect free plastic surgery, and all this kinds of stuff in papers across America. And, you know, I think in the beginning, there was quite a lot of support from the public, right? And so in kind of a post-war era, everybody was into the idea of social rehabilitation, you know, like crime is like a socioeconomic problem. It's not like a criminal problem. But then, you know, they had a lot of stuff about, you know, the super predator idea in America, and crime rates going up and, you know, the American Health Service being what it is, people got really upset that people who, you know, didn't follow the rules were getting these benefits that they couldn't get themselves.
That's an extraordinary story. I'd never heard of it before. Zara, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Zara Stone there. Zara is the author of Killer Looks, The Forgotten History of Plastic Surgery in Prisons.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.